Mary's song, the Magnificat, the song of the angels' announcement to the shepherds, Simeon's song of praise in the temple, the Issues, Etc. book of the month is titled The Songs of Christmas. This new arch book would make a great Christmas gift for children ages 2 through 10. The Songs of Christmas is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. A great stocking stuffer for young children or grandchildren, The Songs of Christmas.
If it's good science, you don't have to talk about a consensus. Nobody ever talks about the consensus surrounding Newton's law of gravity.
The praise team is like a two-headed monster. It doesn't know whether it is an accompanist to help the congregation sing its praise or whether it's a performer to perform on behalf of the congregation.
The problem with the ordination of women to the episcopate is that bishops ordain priests. I mean, you walk into a church on Sunday morning, there's a man standing at the altar. Do you have to walk to the front of the church and go, excuse me, Father, who ordained you?
Wisconsin turkey producers love Issues, Etc.
Jesus does say it twice there. Now, these are words that are recorded in several of the Gospels. And then it's also recorded even earlier, at least chronologically earlier, in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11, verses, 24 and thereabouts. Jesus says of the Lord's Supper, "Do this in remembrance of me. Do this as often as you drink it," he says of the cup, "in my remembrance," in remembrance of me. So what does that mean? Does that mean that Jesus is instituting, in essence, a memorial meal, a meal that Christians are to engage in on a regular basis and thereby to call to mind, to recall, to remember Jesus and what he's done for us sinners? Or is there more to it than us remembering Jesus? What does that remembrance really mean when Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me"? We're going to be responding to Evangelical Proof Text, our ongoing series with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller on this Tuesday afternoon, December the 2nd. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, after our conversation with Pastor Wolfmiller, we're going to be talking with Pastor Jordan Cooper, beginning a weekly series with him on the 5 points of Calvinism. Now, I know that the 5 points of Calvinism doesn't describe entirely what Calvinism is about, but it is an historical artifact of Calvinism. We're going to start with total depravity, the T of the tulip, on this Tuesday afternoon. After that, our conversation will turn to the subject of Minnesota planning to at least eliminate, eradicate, and make illegal gender distinctions for high school sports. That means, I guess it potentially means, that the guys could be on the girls' teams and the girls could be on the guys' teams, and maybe there would be no girls' or guys' teams. There'd just be teams. How is that going to work out, and is that a good idea, trying to eliminate the distinctions between the genders in something as, well, as something as trivial as sports? Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse of the Ruth Institute will react to that for us in the second hour of the program. Then Ken Samples will join us. We're going to talk about extraterrestrials and religion. You've heard it. Maybe you've even worried about it a little bit in an odd moment where you think, you know, if they find life on other planets, does that mean Christianity is false? We'll be dealing with that question. Ken Samples of Reasons to Believe will be our guest in the last half hour of Issues, Etc. For the next 2 hours, I invite your questions and your comments, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet, @IssuesETC. Or our beloved on-demand listeners can always use the Issues, Etc. comment line any time of day or night, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is a regular guest. He joins us for a regular series on responding to Evangelical Proof Text. Today, 1 Corinthians 11, Jesus' words about doing this in remembrance of me. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
Does the mere memorial meal view that predominates in evangelicalism and Protestantism in general, does that mere memorial meal view of the Lord's Supper offer any real comfort to sinners?
Well, I don't know, because it's not trying to offer comfort.
I mean, the purpose of the memorial meal is not to comfort sinners. When Lutherans are talking about the Bible in general and the sacraments in particular, we are interested in comfort, because we see that's what the Lord is up to here, what he's giving us in the forgiveness of sins. But the evangelical, I don't think, is even has that concern for comfort on their radar. So I think the way an evangelical would take that question, do you receive any comfort from taking the Lord's Supper? They'd say, well, what does that matter? Why are you so interested in comfort? I'm doing it as an act of obedience, and I'm remembering the Lord and the things that he's done for me, and I'm in my own spiritual exercises somehow bringing about the good things that Jesus has for me and making them present or something like this. But the idea of having comfort is, I think, a blessedly unique Lutheran way of looking at the question and the sacraments. In fact, I think, you know, you have, when you have these non-sacramental theologies, which is what American evangelical is, it's a non-sacramental theology, then all sorts of other things start to come in and fill the void that's left when you drop what Jesus has given to the church. It's like it's like some sort of certainty vortex or a certainty vacuum. And into that comes the only thing that we have to replace the Lord's doing, and it's our own doing. And I suppose when we really get down to it, there's never going to be any comfort in our own works and our own efforts.
Sounds like what you're saying is it's a bigger problem than just what they believe about this particular passage or how they emphasize remembrance over the other things that Jesus clearly says in 1 Corinthians 11.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, when you talk, when a Lutheran and an evangelical are talking, we don't even have the same words to describe baptism and the Lord's Supper. I mean, we call these things sacraments. The evangelical calls them, and this is old tradition, they call them ordinances. And the difference between an ordinance and a sacrament is, well, it's really the difference between the gospel and the law. It's between a gift of the Lord and to us, and a service that we offer to the Lord. They're precisely opposites in every way. So the entire, and how do you get there is a fantastically interesting question. How do you take the words of Jesus, especially the words instituting the Lord's Supper, which are full of promise and full of comfort and full of gifts to us, how do you take those and totally flip them on their head to where now it's about our inner spiritual exercises? It's really kind of a confounding question.
So generally speaking, just so we have the context and the lay of the land clear before we get into the issue of remembrance, what is the general evangelical, kind of standard evangelical teaching on the Lord's Supper? What is it? You've already mentioned it's an ordinance. What is it? Why does the church do it? What's it all about?
Right. I pulled out my old Moody Handbook of Theology. I found some great stuff in here. This is great. But here's basically their view, the memorial view of the Lord's Supper. Christ is not present physically or spiritually. The recipients commemorate the death of Christ. So this is the basic idea. It's the confession of the real absence of Christ. His body is not there. It's simply the bread and the wine, or the bread and the juice, I suppose, in most cases. And this stands as a symbol, somehow, of Jesus. And when the church comes together to eat and drink these things, we are somehow, again, commemorating the dying of Jesus. That's the purpose. And since I got it open to the page, here's how they diagnose the Lutheran theology. I think this is great. Moody Handbook of Theology says, "The problem with the Lutheran view of the Eucharist is the failure to recognize Jesus' statement, 'This is my body,' as a figure of speech." In other words, we take the words of Jesus too seriously and too literally.
Okay, so can you explain to me your days in evangelicalism? Maybe you never even gave it much thought. What was the connection, okay? I can say when I sit down to eat Thanksgiving that it can be a meal that recalls the first Thanksgiving, therefore those who celebrate it, because generally speaking, we're sitting down for a meal of Thanksgiving, kind of doing the same thing. Might have been a turkey there, a turkey here. There might have been some, who knows, cornbread there, some cornbread here. We try and kind of parallel the activity that connects us to those people. But what about bread and wine, absent the body and blood of Christ, is supposed to remind you of the death and resurrection of Jesus?
I have got no idea. I mean, and it never made any sort of sense to me. I mean, I remember going to the Lord's Supper in the evangelical churches and having this strange sort of sensation that this obviously is supposed to be really important because Jesus made a big deal out of it, but it just doesn't seem like it's doing anything. In fact, the only way, the most kind of memorable celebrations of the Lord's Supper as a memorial meal were those that were bound up to some sort of uniquely mystical expressions of contemporary worship. So you had the music always in the background, the lights were low, there was some sort of particularly emotional appeal or something like this. They were doing all of these things to add to the symbolism of the supper. Because it is a strange symbol. I mean, if Jesus wanted to symbolize his broken body, he should have used the lamb that was hanging around the table from the Passover meal. I mean, this is as a symbol of the death of Jesus on the cross. The bread is just very strange, and it doesn't really work, and it is kind of empty. In fact, I think this question of the Lord's Supper was the catalyst for me beginning to question evangelical theology, because one thing the evangelicals do well is they teach you to take the Scripture seriously, to believe what the Bible says. But then they come right up to these words of Jesus, which are obviously in the Gospels very important words. This is my body, take and eat it, and this is the blood of the New Testament poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. And they say, well, don't take those literally. Those are a symbol. And that was the first inconsistency that kind of opened up the entire inconsistency of evangelical theology to me, anyways.
So what were you taught to do with "This is my body, which is for you"? This cup is the new covenant in my blood. What were you taught to do with those words?
Well, I don't know how many times we were there with the Lord's Supper, and the person, whoever it was, giving out the Lord's Supper, would read the words. On the night when he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then the preacher would stop, and he'd say, "Now, of course, when Jesus says, 'This is my body,' he doesn't mean that it's his body, literally. What he means is, this is a picture of my body." And then they would go on to the next part. And it's the craziest sort of thing. When you're saying the plain, clear words of Jesus, that you have to stop and make sure that everybody knows that what it sounds like Jesus said, he didn't actually say. In fact, what he said, what he meant to say, was the precise opposite of what he really did say. You know that something is going wrong. But this is generally how it goes. So this is not the body of Jesus. This is not the blood of Jesus. This is just a picture. And when we take this, we remember the good things that Jesus did for us on the cross. And now, like in all of evangelicalism, the action is, instead of being what Jesus has done, it's now back on me to somehow activate the things that Jesus has done and make them fruitful in my own contemplation. And that's why the emphasis really sits on this remembrance. Do this on remembrance of me. It's those words where the evangelical can find the command and turn what is gospel into law.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. It's our series on responding to evangelical proof text today. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Jesus' words, "Do this in remembrance of me." He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio. You'll find a link among the other many things that Pastor Brian Wolfmiller does, linked to at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand.
Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Clark, it's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
Maybe getting a faithful pastor seems as exciting as a membership in the Jelly of the Month Club. But that kind of thinking can lead to the unbiblical removal of pastors from the office of the Holy Ministry, the topic of our next ACELC conference, February 10th through 12th in Kansas City, Missouri. Register at acelc.net because faithful pastors really are a gift that keeps on giving. See why at acelc.net.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Yes, there is a Messiah in Seattle. Messiah Lutheran Church and Concordia Lutheran School have served North Seattle for over 60 years, and we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 8 and 10:45 with Bible study at 9:20. Messiah Seattle is proud to support Issues, Etc. To learn more, watch our adult information class videos online or on DVD. Our website is messiahseattle.org, 206-524-0024.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings, 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're responding to Evangelical Proof Text. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. Brian, let me get this picture, and then I want to go on to what these words, remembrance, someone might say, well, we emphasize remembrance, and we kind of gloss over, you know, the body and the blood part, but you guys, you emphasize body and blood, and you gloss over the remembrance part, but I want to correct that here in a minute. But first, the picture that I have in mind is of a younger Brian Wolfmiller visiting the Evangelical Church. They're having the Lord's Supper, the mood is set, everything is, you're going around, you receive the bread and the juice, I assume, with some words that explain that Jesus doesn't really mean what it sounds like he means. What are you doing at that moment? Are you picturing Jesus on the cross? What is you're being called upon to do in that remembrance in the evangelical context?
Well, it seems like the kind of inner life of the evangelical. This is for me, and I don't think it's a strange. I don't think I'm alone in this, and it's the main goal is sincerity. So you're trying to muster up as much sincerity as you possibly can. So in those sort of moments, when you're having the Lord's Supper, you're fighting to really sincerely picture the cross of Jesus, his kind of agony, that it's for you, and your confidence comes in the kind of depth of your devotion, you know, however much sincerity you can kind of muster up. Now, I got sins to confess on the other side, and that is because when I was an evangelical, I was also helping with a youth group in the Evangelical Lutheran Church, the Liberal Lutheran Church, and I remember, this is embarrassing. But I remember going to the Lutheran church. They had some sort of youth event, which at the end of it, they had the Lord's Supper. And I was so convinced that the body and blood of Christ wasn't there, that to show my confidence in that these Lutherans were so wrong, that I went up to and was talking to the pastor after the service, and I grabbed the chalice, like a glass of wine, and started drinking it casually. Oh, shoot. It's crazy. So that while I was at the evangelical church taking the Lord's Supper, convinced that the benefit was in mustering up my own sincerity, I had the equal and opposite pride when I went against the Lutherans and was confessing clearly that they were wrong about this and that the body and blood of Christ was not present in the supper. And so these are, I mean, pride and despair are the two sides of a conscience without the gospel. You're just into one or into the other.
And so while you're in the evangelical church, it's going to be pushing you into despair. But when you come out and you encounter the Lutherans especially, their kind of quiet, humble faith, you are really provoked to pride regarding the Lord's Supper.
So starting with Jesus' words, "This is my body, do this in remembrance of me." He says there, "This is my body for you," or given for you. What is the right teaching there when Jesus says this of the Lord's Supper?
Well, the right teaching listens to what Jesus says and believes it. I remember when I was taking instruction studying the catechism as an adult, and the pastor always used to say beautifully, "We read the scriptures like a 6-year-old child with simple faith." So Jesus says, "This is my body." We say, "You got it, Jesus." I mean, we trust that if Jesus wanted to, he could say, "This is not my body, but a picture of my body," or "This is a symbol of my body," or "This is a communion with my divine nature, but not with my human nature," or whatever he wanted to say. But he didn't say any of those things. He says, "Look, I'm giving you my last testament. I'm dying tomorrow, and I want to bequeath to you, my church, a gift, a dying gift, and it is this. This is my body, given for you. And this is the blood of the New Testament shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." And so Jesus means exactly what he says.
What does he mean when he says, "Do this in remembrance of me," then?
Well, then this is great, because so the first is that Jesus doesn't, he wants us to know that this is just not a one-time event. Like the, a lot of the things that Jesus did, they happened once or twice, you know. He fed the 5,000 and then the 4,000, and that's it. He calmed the sea, and he walked in the water, and he raised Lazarus from the dead. And he does not say, "Do this in remembrance of me." So the church doesn't go around walking on the water or raising people from the dead. But this is to be done into perpetuity until Jesus comes back. So he says, "You see what I'm doing here? This, do this. Keep doing it. This is an ongoing sort of thing. I want you to be eating my body, taking and eating my body, taking and drinking the blood of the New Testament. I want you, the church, to be doing this, to be partaking of it in the generations to come." And then Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me," which is a saying that when you do this, when you take my body and eat it, and when you take my blood and drink it, do it trusting in my promises. So to do this in remembrance of me is telling the church that when we come to the Lord's Supper, we are doing it in faith. This in remembrance of me especially stands against the idea that the Lord's Supper is magic or that confers some sort of benefit apart from the promise of Jesus and the reception of those promises by faith.
So there is, this is not... as you said before, it's not magic. It's not kind of in the terms of medieval scholastic philosophy. It isn't simply effective in the doing of the doing, the ex opera operato kind of Roman Catholic view. There's something happening here that Jesus is doing, and that something is happening regardless of whether there's faith present, but is received by faith.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So if you believe or you do not believe, it doesn't matter, you get the body of Jesus. But the only way to get the promise of forgiveness is by faith. I mean, that's forgiveness is always given to us by faith because it's a promise. There's no other way to get a hold of it. That's the only way you grab hold of a promise is by faith. So the forgiveness of sins, the gospel, the promise of forgiveness of sins based on the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, is only received by faith. So you go to the Lord's Supper. Apart from faith, you get the body of Jesus, you get the blood of Jesus, but instead of getting the benefit of that, you in fact get a curse, or it becomes to you detrimental. So that this eating and drinking is never to be done apart from faith. They belong together. And specifically, faith in the words of Jesus, "This is my body." So we have faith in the thing that the Lord is giving to us right there in the supper. I think there's this great irony, then, for the evangelical that loves these words, "Do this in remembrance." In fact, I don't know how many of the old evangelical churches, and especially some of the old Calvinist and Reformed churches, had the altar up front and they had those words on it, "Do this in remembrance." I mean, they love that word, remembrance.
but you simply ask, well, what are we doing in remembrance? And it must be, according to the words of Jesus, the thing that we're doing in remembrance of him is taking and eating his body and taking and drinking his blood.
So this isn't about, it isn't about two actions. That is, I eat and I remember. It is about remembering by doing exactly what Jesus is telling you to do here. Eat,
exactly.
Take and eat this.
That's right. Faith is going to take and grab a hold of the words of Jesus, the words of promise, this is my body, his words of invitation, take and eat, take and drink. Faith is going to grab a hold of all of them. And in this, we have the absolute confidence that Jesus wants to give us in the supper. I mean, he doesn't. Now we're back to the very first question, how does this give us comfort? Jesus gives us his body and his blood. So serious is he. Does he want us to have the absolute certainty that our sins are forgiven, that he says, look, here's my body and my blood to eat and to drink, and know now that your sins are forgiven. You might not feel forgiven. You might not act forgiven. You certainly don't look forgiven, but you are forgiven as surely as I've promised that it's done for you. And now we have the real purpose of the Lord's Supper, which is to be established in this forgiveness, in the confidence that Jesus loves us, that the blood that was shed on the cross for all the world is now brought to me, a sinner, and that Jesus then drags me out of my sin into his glory and into his comfort with this gift, with this supper.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. We're responding to Evangelical Proof Text today. It's 1 Corinthians 11. Do this in remembrance of me. When we come back, the grammar of this remembrance is a little particular. The way Jesus says, in remembrance of me, is a bit odd. It's actually kind of forceful. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
Seek out that clear teaching. That's why Issues Etc. is so great.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, on the value of Issues Etc.
I can't speak highly enough of the times in my life, previous to seminary especially, where it was my lifeline. It was giving me the food that I needed, the clear thinking Christianity, to be able to know what I believed and why I believed it.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. Issues Etc. IssuesETC.org.
Arch Fitness of Greater St. Louis has a new fall schedule for adult boot camps and sports performance training classes. There's plenty of flexibility with workouts on weekday mornings, weekday evenings, or even Saturday mornings. Arch Fitness is located at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Rysick at 618-670-6952. Get in shape this fall with Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
Historic, authentic, Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Are you concerned that nativity scenes aren't being displayed in public places? Why not display one at your church or your home? The Outdoor Nativity Store produces durable, affordable, and American-made outdoor nativities for Christians around the world. To view a variety of nativity sets, visit OutdoorNativityStore.com. These nativities will hold up under the harshest weather conditions, snow, ice, and wind. The Outdoor Nativity Store, OutdoorNativityStore.com. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, responding to Evangelical Proof Text today. Do this in remembrance of me. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest, pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio. He's also editor of the online Around the Word Journal. Now, Brian, you've recently redesigned, retooled Around the Word. Tell us a little bit about it.
We had last year, we did four print journals. This is kind of a theological journal for the curious Christian. So kind of Issues Etc. in print, I don't know, that might be a little bold. But we've kind of built a website now to house this and to house the conversation going forward. So we'll have about 10 different columnists and a number of a theological dog pile in there. We'll have various topics where people can write and include stuff. And that's on the website, whatdoesthismean.org. It should be pretty easy to remember. Whatdoesthismean.org, and we should have new stuff coming out. A bunch of the old stuff will be posted up there for people who never ordered the journal to take a look at as well.
Folks, you'll find a link to Around the Word at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. There is a grammatical oddity here, a little bit of one, when it comes to the way Jesus phrases this, do this in remembrance of me. He could have said it several ways. I mean, there's several legitimate ways to say it in Greek, but he says it using a word, this anamnesis, that is, I take it, a word that, at least in its Old Testament usage, more applied to what God does than to what man does. And, of course, we got God remembering all sorts of things in the Old Testament. But he also uses a rather forceful word there for my or mine. So some have concluded, and I wonder what you think about this, Brian, that while Jesus certainly is calling for us to remember his death, there's no doubt about that. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim his death until he comes. But he's also saying something, some have said, about him remembering us in this meal as well.
Yeah, I've heard that. And it's kind of like the hymn that we sing at Lent, Lord Jesus, think on me, so that as we take the Lord's Supper, we are in fact being revealed to us what the Lord thinks about me. And that is, even though he should think terrible thoughts about me, I mean, his thoughts towards me should be my destruction and my end in hell. But instead, the thoughts that he has towards me are of mercy and kindness and love and forgiveness. And so that's true. In the Lord's Supper, the Lord's mind towards us is revealed. And there's another thing that's quite interesting about this remembrance, is that it's bound up a lot to worship. In the Old Testament, the commandment that has remembrance in it is the third commandment: remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And that's a really profound commandment. All the other commandments are telling us what we are to do, but the third commandment tells us what we're not to do. It commands us to rest, to not work, to hear the Lord's word and to believe it, and so be sanctified by it. There's this, right after the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, the Lord has this great promise: wherever I cause my name to be remembered, there I will come to you and there I will bless you. So in the temple, in the hearing of the word, in the celebration of the sacraments in the church, the Lord is giving us his work and his doing and his blessing. It's Christianity, then. I mean, this is what it is to worship the Lord, is to receive from him the benefits that he wants to give. So when we come to church, we don't come to do some sort of work to please God, but rather we come to receive his benefits, to hear his promises, to trust his word, to have his name placed upon us, his body and blood put into our mouth. We come not to give, but to receive, and to receive from the Lord the blessings that he wants to give to us.
Now, you said at the beginning that the difference between the evangelical reading and hearing of these words and the Lutheran hearing of these words comes down to two different theologies. One is one that is sacramental. The other one is intentionally unsacramental, so it comes up with all sorts of other ways here. Again, back to where we began. Why is it that to hear Christ saying what he says plainly, that this is in fact his body for us to eat and drink for our forgiveness, and thereby his sacrifice is remembered, and he, as you said so well, discloses his disposition toward us of grace and mercy, the forgiveness of sins. Why is that a whole world different than sitting down just to remember good old Jesus?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, Jesus, when he gathers his disciples together on the very night in which he's going to be tried and you know, just hours away from him being crucified, and it's less than 24 hours before he'll be dead and laid in the tomb, and he says, okay, now, I am going to die, and that means that you are going to inherit my kingdom. So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to write down my will, and I'm going to tell you what you will inherit from me. And Jesus, who has everything, I mean, the entire cosmos is cupped in his hands. He invented everything that is, comes through him. He has boundless wealth and power and riches, and yet he says, here is what I want you to have from me. This is the dearest treasure that I can give to you, my church. It is my body for you to eat, and my blood for you to drink, all for the forgiveness of your sins. And if we don't have that inheritance that Jesus is giving us, then we are like the children whose parents left them a great inheritance, but they don't even know about it. We're living in poverty while the riches of the world belong to us by inheritance. And this is what Jesus has given us in the Supper, the inheritance that he wants for us to have, which is his body and blood with the forgiveness of sins and the great comfort of knowing that he loves us, and that he forgives us, and that he's not mad at us. And that is the most wonderful, certain, unmovable comfort in all the world.
Pastor Brian Wolf Miller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio. Brian, thank you very much for being our guest.
You got it.
Folks, our accountant informed us just today that we're just about $62,000 short of expenses for the year, working in toward making those expenses. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc., a voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible donation by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. As always, thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of 2014.